taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we're going to be listening to hearing from President Trump. Folks, the Democrats, the raging, the heathen have been raging in the streets, cussing, taking the Lord's name in vain. They got caught, and it's coming out, and this is what's got him so upset. So take her away, style.
So he's working for free with Doge. He's kind of put a lot of his life on hold, and you sued Twitter a number of years ago. You just made him pay you $10 million?
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
I sued from long before he had it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they really did a number on me, you know. And I sued, and they had to pay. They paid $10 million settlement.
You're okay with that?
I mean, I left it up to the lawyers and, you know, the team running Twitter. So it's, I said, you guys do what you think is the right. It makes sense.
I think it's fine.
I think it's a very low. I was looking to get much more money than that.
So you gave him a discount when the lawsuit.
He got a he got a big discount. I don't think he even knows about it.
He's become one of your, if you read and believe the media, he's become one of your best friends. He's working for free for you.
Well, I love the president. I just want to be clear about that.
I don't care about that.
I know. I love the president.
You love the president.
I think President Trump is a good man, and he's, you know.
It's nice the way he said that, you know? There's something nice about
it. Really is. It is. You know, because, I mean, the president has been so unfairly attacked in the media. It's really outrageous. And I've spent a lot of time with the president, and not once have I seen him do something that was mean or cruel or wrong. Not once.
You know, I've known him for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anybody take as much as he's taken.
Yeah.
And we've discussed this, and I'm like, how do you deal with it?
Did I have a choice?
Well, you would say that to me. I'm like, what am I going to do? Worry about it? And, you know, and then culminating in 2 assassination attempts, which resulted in your endorsement.
Well, I was going to do it anyway, but that was a precipitating event, yes.
That speeded up a little bit.
Yeah.
The day of the assassination.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It sped it up, but I was going to do it anyway.
Mr. President, with your indulgence, I'm convinced that people only know a little bit about Elon. I don't think they know everything about Elon because as I studied for and prepared for this interview, I learned a lot about you that I didn't know. I think people will think about Tesla. Democrats are demonizing you and trying to make the country hate you. I just want people to understand you a little bit better and the person that you've gotten to know and have now put a lot of trust in.
Yeah.
And, you know, just let's go over a little bit of your bio, starting with PayPal and how you became involved in Tesla and SpaceX and Neuralink and all these.
Take a while. I mean, you know, I think the way you think of me is like I'm a technologist and I try to make technologies that improve the world and make life better.
You can show your shirt.
Yeah, and that's why I like my T-shirt says tech support because I'm here to provide the president with technology support. And now that may seem like, well, is that a silly thing? But actually, it's a very important thing because the president will make these executive orders, which are very sensible and good for the country, but then they don't get implemented. You know, so if you take all the funding for the migrant hotels, the president issued an executive order. Hey, we need to stop taking taxpayer money and paying for luxury hotels for illegal immigrants. Which makes no sense. Like, obviously, people do not want their tax dollars going to fund high-end hotels for illegals. And yet they were still doing that, even as late as last week. And so, you know, we went in there and we're like, this is a violation of the presidential executive order. It needs to stop. So what we're doing here is one of the biggest functions of the DOGE team is just making sure that the presidential executive orders are actually carried out. And this is, I just want to point out, this is a very important thing because the president is the elected representative of the people. So he's representing the will of the people. And if the bureaucracy is fighting the will of the people, and preventing the president from implementing what the people want, then what we live in is a bureaucracy and not a democracy.
You're both aware, you have to be keenly aware, that the media and the punditry class, not that, you know, I think you've proven they have no power anymore because they threw everything they had at you and they didn't win. And that was, you know, the New York Times, Washington Post, three networks, every late night comedy show, two cable channels. They threw everything, lawfare, weaponization.
Sure.
And now I see they want you two to start. They want a divorce. They want you two to start hating each other. And they try. Oh, President Elon Musk, for example. You do know that they're doing that to you.
Oh, I see it all the time. They tried it, then they stopped. That wasn't. They have many different things of hatred. Actually, Elon called me. He said, "You know, they're trying to drive us apart." I said, "Absolutely." No, they said, "We have breaking news. Donald Trump has ceded control of the presidency to Elon Musk. President Musk will be attending a cabinet meeting tonight at 8 o'clock." And I say, yeah, "It's just so obvious. They're so bad at it. I used to think they were good at it. They're actually bad at it, because if they were good at it, I'd never be president. Because I think nobody in history has ever gotten more bad publicity than me. I could do the greatest things. I get 98% bad publicity. I could do, outside of you and a few of your very good friends, it's like the craziest thing. But you know what I have learned, Elon? The people are smart. They get it.
Yeah, they do, actually.
They get it. They really see what's happening.
Yes.
And, that, and at the end of this interview, what I would like is I want people to know the relationship and know more about you. What is the relationship, Mr. President?
Well, I respect him. I've always respected him. I never knew that he was right on certain things, and I'm usually pretty good at this stuff. He did Starlink. He did things that were so advanced and nobody knew what the hell they were. I can tell you, in North Carolina, they had no communication. They were wiped out. Those people were, you know, they had rivers in between land that never saw water. All of a sudden, it was a river and a vicious, like rapids. People were dying all over. They had no communication. They said, "You know Elon Musk?" They didn't really know I knew him. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Could you get Starlink?" It's like the first time I ever heard of it. I said, "What's Starlink?" "A communication system that's unbelievable."
I have it.
Yeah. And he said, I called him and I said, "Listen, they really need it." And he got like thousands of units of this communication, and it saved a lot of lives. He got it immediately, and you can't get it. I mean, you have to wait a long time to get it. But he got it to him immediately, and I said, "That's pretty amazing." And I didn't even know he had it.
All right, we're back, and folks, you know, your prayers out there, you people that prayed with us, that you got the devil's attention, and so they've been calling, the devil's children out there have been calling, trying to tie up our phone lines. So I'm going to ask you one more time to pray with us again, and again, there's power in prayer, there's power in prayer. Let me tell you, you've got the devil's attention out there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, for those that are trying to tie up our lines, Lord God, again, my prayer, Father God, is this. You know, we know that we battle not against flesh and blood, but, Lord, we know it's been manifesting itself. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, the powers and the principalities, the powers of darkness, Father, but he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just pray that you would come against those that are trying to tie the phone lines up, Lord, and motivate your people, Father, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, to call, to run to this battle and call in, to get through, to fight off those that would try to stop us, Father God, Lord. They want us off the air in the worst way, and it's because, Lord, we don't compromise. So we thank you and praise you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you again come against those that are coming against us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, folks, yeah, they're trying to tie up our phone lines. And speaking of phones, many of you have been trying to get through down to the church. I don't know why, but one of our phone lines at the church, now we've been having a lot of trouble with it. And, you know, that's who we are. We've got the devil's attention. But the phone line that does work is 440-338-1036. This is for the church or for the radio ministry. 440-338-1036. In fact, all of them, the pro-life ministry, we're all using this number right now. 440-338-1036, even the prison and jail. So we do need, that line works right now. We're going to try to get the other line fixed. We don't have boring days, folks, where we're at, I can tell you that. Also, don't forget, bringing America back to life. This is what's got him so angry, because the Lord Jesus came to give us life and to give us more abundantly, and these people represent death. They represent death, and that's why they hate us so much here. But bringing America back to life, March 7th and 8th at the Embassy Suites, 5800 Rockside Road in Independence, Ohio. This is the country's largest pro-life conference, and it's going to be a good one. They have all kinds of speakers there, pro-life speakers, and you want to come and be a part of that. But you got to call. You got to get registered really quick, because it's filling up. So the phone number to call and register is 440-644-3411. Again, to call to register would be 440-644-3411. You need to do it yesterday. You need to call as soon as possible. Now, I want to say thank you to Cammie in Texas. She pledged 100. Susan in Massachusetts pledges 100. Patrick in Ohio pledges, I can't read that, 100. Sister Mary Grace pledges 160. And Bob in New Jersey pledges 45. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Folks, help us out here. The enemy is trying to stop us, Father God. They're trying to jam the phone lines. So we need for God's people to call in and help us. We're going to go back and play another clip of President Trump. So call 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Be back after this.
I think, you know, something that had an effect on me was when I saw the rocket ship come back and get grabbed, like you grab a beautiful little baby. You grab your baby. It just
hug the rocket.
I've never seen
right. Everyone, everything needs hug and clearing rockets.
And he said, you know, you can't really have a rocket program if you're going to dump $1 billion into the ocean every time you fly. You have to save it.
Right.
And he saved it. First time that I've ever seen that done. And nobody else can do it. If you look at the U.S., Russia, or China, they can't do it. And they won't be able to do it for a long time. He has the technology. So you learn. I wanted somebody really smart to work with me in terms of the country, a very important aspect. Because, I mean, he doesn't talk about it. He's actually a very good businessman. And when he talks about the executive orders, and this is probably true for all presidents, you write an executive order and you think it's done. You send it out. It doesn't get done. It doesn't get implemented. They don't implement it. They maybe they're from the last administration, and they are in some cases. You try and get them out as fast as you can. But I could, as soon as he said that, I said, you know, that's interesting. You write a beautiful executive and you sign it and you assume it's going to be done, but it's not. What he does is he takes it and with his 100 geniuses, he's got some very brilliant young people working for him that dress much worse than him, actually.
Yeah,
they dress in just T-shirts. You wouldn't know they have 180 IQ.
Wait a minute. So what he's your tech support.
He's much more than that.
Yeah. I actually am tech support, though. But
he gets it done. He's a leader.
Yeah.
He really is. He gets it done. You get a lot of tech people, and you have people that are good with tech, but he gets it done. You know, I said in real estate, you had guys that would draw beautiful renderings of a building, and they'd draw the rendering. It would be great. And you say, great, when are you starting? But they were never able to get it built. They couldn't get the financing. They couldn't get the approvals. It would never get done. And then you have other guys that are able to get it done. You know, they could just get it done. I was in real estate. Same thing in this. He gets it done. So when he said that, he said, you know, when you sign these executive orders, a lot of them don't get done, and maybe the most important ones. And he would take that executive order that I'd sign, and he would have those people go to whatever agency it was. When are you doing it? Get it done. Get it done. And some guy that maybe didn't want to do it, all of a sudden, he's signing. He just doesn't want to be bothered.
Do a lot of those executive orders have to be codified into law? You need the Republican Congress to follow
up? Yeah, and they will be.
Up.
A lot of them will be,
They will.
But look, in the meantime, we have 4 years. The beauty is we have 4 years. That's why I like doing it right at the beginning. Because an executive order is great. I mean, the one problem, it's both good and bad. Because when they did all these executive orders, I've canceled most of them. They were terrible. I mean, we're going to go radical left communist. OK, it was crazy. Their
really crazy.
Executive orders were so bad. If they ever got them codified, you'd never be able to break them. So the damage that Biden has done to this country, and it's not even Biden, it's the people that circled him in the Oval Office, OK, but the damage they did to this country in terms of, let's say, open borders, you know, there's so many things, but open borders, where millions of people poured into our country and hundreds of thousands of those people are criminals. They're murderers. They're drug dealers. They're gang members. They're people from prisons from all over the world. And we have a great guy, Tom Homan, and he is doing so incredibly. You saw the numbers. They're down like 96%.
95%.
He is a phenomenal guy. And Kristi Noem is doing an unbelievable job. And he wanted her. He said, she's so tough. And I said, I don't think of her as that way. You know, she's very nice. He said, no, she's so tough. And she is. I see with the horses. She's riding the horse. Let's go. She's great. But the team we have is really unbelievable. But those executive orders, I sign them, and now they get passed on to him and his group and other people, and they're all getting done. We're getting them done.
Let me go back a little bit to your background, because it's
sure.
It's beyond impressive. You were the chief engineer, for example. You were an early believer in Tesla. You became the CEO and then the chief engineer, which was phenomenal. SpaceX, same thing, which is unbelievable. I mean, you were the first company, private company, to send astronauts successfully into space, first private company to send astronauts into orbit.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep.
He's going to go into orbit soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, he's going to go to Mars. He's
Starlink.
Going to fly on his...
At some point.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is in over.
I mean, they was asking, like, do you want to die on Mars? And I say, well, yes, but not on impact.
Starlink is in 100 countries. This is going to be hard. I feel like I'm interviewing two brothers here.
You go ahead.
Star Shield, which could be used for national defense.
Yeah, it has already been used for national defense.
Then you have a, what is it called? Optimus, a part of Tesla.
The robot, yeah.
A robotic arm, then you have an AI arm, and then you have something that really fascinated me, and it's called Neuralink.
Yes.
You might help the blind to see.
Yes.
And people with spinal cord injuries that they can recover, where in the past, how close is that becoming a success?
Neuralink, we've implanted Neuralink in three patients so far who are quadriplegics, and it allows them to directly control their phone and computer just using their mind, just by thinking. It's like, so we call this product telepathy. So you control your computer and phone just by thinking, and it's possible to actually control the computer and phone faster than someone who has working hands. Then the next step would be to add a second Neuralink implant past the point where the neuron's damaged, so that somebody can walk again, and so they can have full body functionality restored.
And you like Bobby, right?
I like Bobby, actually. Yeah, I think I supported Bobby Kennedy. I think he's unfairly maligned as someone who is anti-science, but I think he isn't. He just wants to question the science, which is the essence of the science. The scientific method fundamentally is about always questioning the science.
Well, they didn't tell us the truth about COVID.
Correct.
That's for sure.
Yes.
And we learned a lot with the Twitter files. And that just then raises a question. You're the richest man in the world. You may not like that part. Yeah. You're pretty competitive.
Neither here nor there.
I've known you a long time. But
that's why I mean.
But he's on your team. Well, that's true. He can't top that.
All righty, we're back. And folks, that I want to say thank you. Joe in New York pledged 100. Clifton in New York pledges 100. And Bob in Illinois pledges 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those numbers again are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. You know, I don't know if people realize how blessed we are. We have people that want to bring this country back, that actually want to do good things out there today. We've got Joe Biden out of office. He was a wicked man, and praise God he's gone. He really needs to repent. Every kind of evil that man provided, he promoted every kind of evil while he was in office there. And I got a very interesting article here and then we'll go back another clip. The Trump is suing. Trump's using rather a clever trick to break the deep state's massive command and control system. Every once in a while, and this is an article by Bella Vita, you come across something online that just nails it. And this is one of those times. We found an analysis of the deep state command control that will blow you away. Yes, we all know that the media is in bed with the regime and deep state and every other corrupt power entity, right? But there's more to it than you might think. In this kind of a really weird way, this is an issue with both more complicated and less complicated at the same time. Now for the good news, President Trump has found a clever way to break the massive, intricate apparatus as we speak. This is positive, but there's plenty of negatives too. Maybe a little more on that later. Before we get into the nitty-gritty and share the incredible analysis with you, let's take a step back and lay the groundwork for how the deep state's command and control system really operates. Most of us know all about the fake news pipeline, but what we don't realize is how it actually works. People love to joke about CNN being the CIA news network, and honestly, they're not far off. But the way this whole operation plays out is fascinating, chilling, and very telling. And to understand how Trump just broke it, you first need to get a solid grasp on how the machine actually runs. Now, it's not some shadowy figure in a dark, smoke-filled office making phone calls to hand-pick news stories for the left. It's a lot more intricate, detailed, and clever than that. There's a very precise system in place designed to make so-called journalists and editors believe they're actually doing real journalism. That illusion is key. If the pawns start to question their role, the whole scheme falls apart. Keeping them convinced that they are professionals is what makes this machine run like a well-oiled propaganda factory. So, without further ado, here's one of the best breakdowns of the Deep State Media Control Center and how President Trump has shattered it, leaving players confused and scrambling for answers. Johnny Conrad, this is by Johnny Conrad. I opened my New York Times app today, and they're trying, but they can't keep up. The news broke just hours ago. It's already off the homepage. This is crucial. The entire liberal deep state command and control system is broken. Let me explain. The New York Times' primary function isn't journalism, it's narrative coordination, setting the frame so that the entire political media machine knows how to think about an issue before it takes off. Ever notice how overnight that everyone starts saying Biden is sharp as a tack or J.D. Vance is weird? It's not random. It's a system. Yeah, and yeah, they turn on. We talked about this years ago when they activate the echo chamber. You know, they're all of those at NBC, ABC, CBS. They always parrot the same so-called narrative. And here, the narrative pipeline, how the blob operates. The New York Times, the NPR, Washington Post, CNN, and the rest don't just react to news. They function as a distributed, decentralized mission command system for the Democratic Communist Party and what they call the broader blob. Step one, local bureau chiefs. These guys are stationed across the country watching which stories gain traction and fielding calls from Dem operatives feeding them narratives. Step two, New York editors, bureau chiefs snip the news and send it to New York where an editor triages it and will explode nationwide. Will it simmer for days or will we bury it? Okay. Step three, editorial meeting. the most concerning stories get flagged. Here editors decide on the narrative framing and who will and who to assign to write it. But before they assign a journalist, they make one critical call to the deep state. I got to stop here and just say, folks, we need to hear from you. Brett in Ohio pledges 25. I only have 34 minutes left tonight. And we really need to hear from you. Like I said, we have a deadline. None of us in this ministry, all of us here, none of us get paid. In fact, you know, above and beyond our work and our time into getting the message, we just get the truth out there. We don't do it for pay. We get the truth out. See, what happens is a lot of times when money is involved, corruption gets involved. And so we just put in our time. We donate our time. And it's the cause is a righteous cause. And that's why we ask you to help us and be a part of that. And donate and help us keep getting the truth out. Because you know one thing. If you've been listening to us for years, we're not going to compromise when it's happening. We would never give in. We would never be silenced. We'd have to be drug out of here and away from the mic to shut us up. So anyhow, the phone numbers are 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. We got about just over 30 minutes left for tonight. Going back to the article, he goes on to say, but before they assign a journalist, they make one critical call to the deep state. Why? To give the government a head start on controlling the story. At this point, the deep state doesn't just say, here's what happened. They strategically select sources based on the tone they want. If they need hawkish China rhetoric, they have a China hardliner expert on speed dial. If they want to downplay Chinese spy scandals, they go to a dovish China expert who will say it's being blown out of proportion. If it's a military scandal, they pick a trustworthy retired general to subtly steer the discussion toward a desired conclusion. This isn't journalism by any way, folks. It's perception warfare. Once the tone is set, the editor assigns the story and suggests the approval sources to call it. The journalist's job is simple. Get quotes from the right experts, write it up, stick it to the approved angles. Now, if something goes wrong with the angle, a source exposes it as a lie, they return to the editor for guidance. Occasionally, a journalist oversteps it. If it's a minor, it passes. If it's major, the editor kills the piece, buries it on page 16, or reassigns it to a more trusted writer to correct the framing. Overstep two, many times in you're reassigned to local news or gently, it's not your fault, we love you, your spark just downsized, let go. Do a really good job sticking it to the approved script and you get awards or book deals and travel assignments. Nobody flatly says the award isn't for telling the party line, for towing the party line, because that would expose the scam. No, the journalists are smart. They either pick up on the reward incentives or they're gently pushed aside. Suddenly, every news outlet, late night host, and blue check has reinforced the same message. And because they aren't technically taking orders, they think that it's their own independent analysis. This is why the narrative feels so unified. No one's forcing a compliance. It's a system that rewards alignment. Now, each individual pundit and blog is allowed to post independently, but they all know unconsciously to work the narrative because that's where the rewards are. If someone breaks the narrative, it's a big one in a bug way. Potentially, there are three options. One, smear campaign to make them toxic. Two, ban them from the system. Wikipedia, blacklist, social media throttle, no DC party invites, no Pentagon passes, press passes. Three, turn them into a double agent who claims to buck the narrative but simply shifts things around. It is the ultimate genius is this. Not all stories emerge organically. Sometimes the deep state calls first. A senior editor gets a call. Everyone in D.C. is talking about how weird J.D. Vance is. The next morning, as the editorial meetings, that becomes... People are saying, J.D. Vance is weird. Let's get some stories on that. Then every editor repeats it to the reporters. Did you hear J.D. Vance is weird? Let's explore that. Suddenly every news outlet, late night host, and blue check is reinforcing the same message. And because they aren't technically taking orders, and they think it's their own independent analysis, that is why the narrative feels so unified. No one's forcing compliance. It's a system that rewards alignment. And the deep state tries its best to play a soft hand. They let things emerge around the narrative. Only step in if the narrative is evolving in a bad way or new information disturbs the narrative. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until that he was crucified.
All right, we are back, and let me see, what do we got? We've got Tom in Illinois pledged 200. John in Minnesota pledged 50. Joanne in New York pledged 1,000. And Sue in Illinois pledges 1,000. And Edna in Massachusetts pledges 1,000. This is amazing. Absolutely. God answers prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies. God bless all of you folks. That's amazing. Alrighty. Boy, we need that tonight. And they come against... So there you go. I noticed them. It seems like the those that are the jammers are gone. The harassers are gone, huh?
I haven't heard from them in a minute.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we, you know, we prayed, and maybe God answered those prayers. And it, hopefully, yeah. God answers prayers, folks. Thank you. Thank you again. Okay, Republicans don't have this. I want to go back to this article here, that the article I was referring to, where it talks about Trump is using a clever trick to break the deep state's massive command and control system. And now the Republicans don't have this. No clear commander's intent, no unified messaging framework, no ecosystem where they think tanks. They don't have think tanks, media, and then the party strategists move in all in the same directions. No, the Republican Party has not been that way at all. Instead, it's chaotic, reactive, and uncoordinated. Meanwhile, the Democratic Communists operate like a well-oiled mission command system, not because of a single top-down controller, but because every key player understands their role in pushing the message. And until Republicans build a competing system, they'll always be playing defense. The last part is the most important. Trump's rapid-fire style isn't just effective. It's wrecking ball to their machine, and he needs to keep it up with a disaster. That's right. He keeps throwing so much at them. They don't know which direction to turn. They don't know how to form a so-called narrative, and they have become totally confused, divided. They're going after each other now. Here, it's a wrecking ball to their machine, and he needs to keep it up. With the disaster this country is in, that shouldn't be too hard. But here's the real takeaway. We need our own command system, no more of this high road nonsense where we sit on sidelines like Paul Ryan, clutching on pearls and mumbling. That's not who we are. Meanwhile, the left plays dirty, and they win and win and win and win. And so, all righty, well, folks, that's the article, and that's right. Trump has been throwing so much at him so fast, and here... They found themselves trying to defend such huge amounts of government waste. They're being exposed. And all these years, it's been their job to make sure you never heard about any of this, to keep this down. But now they're the legacy media. They're no longer the mainstream media. And it's because of radio programs like this and others like this that we're out there. And now more people, we have the largest audience, and it's growing every day, farther and farther. The conservative radio is growing. This is why they try to convince all the major auto manufacturers to take AM radio off out of the cars. They want to try to shut us up, okay? But they can't shut us up if you're with us, if you keep us. And so I want to thank all of you for tonight supporting us. But listen, we still have 20 minutes. So the numbers are 888-281-1110. That's the credit card numbers, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We still have about 20 minutes left in tonight for you to call in. So call in. We're going to go back and play another clip and hear some more from President Trump.
He's good. You know, I wanted to find somebody smarter than him. I searched all over. I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't.
You really tried hard.
I couldn't find anyone smarter, right? So we had it for the country.
But this is the thing.
We settled on this.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm just trying to be useful.
But this
here.
Is the interesting. So. This is where we are as a society, and I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to do it anyway. You're doing all of these things. Nobody at Doge gets paid a penny, correct?
Well, actually, some people are federal employees.
They're helping.
But it's fair to say that the software engineers at Doge could be earning millions of dollars a year and instead of earning a small fraction of that as federal employees.
Okay, so...
And they're very committed people.
So yes. You're committed to helping the blind see people with spinal cord injuries recover.
Yes.
You're committed to getting to Mars. You're committed to rescue. You're going to help rescue next month two astronauts that I think were abandoned. They dispute that in an interview.
At the president's request, or instruction, we are accelerating the return of the astronauts, which was postponed kind of to a ridiculous degree.
They got left in space.
They've been there. They were supposed to be there 8 days. They're there almost 300.
Biden.
Yes, they were left up there for political reasons, which is not good.
Okay, it's not good. Now, if I had the weight and the pressure of doing that successfully on my shoulders, I think I'd be, you know. But when we spoke before we did this interview, you are very confident. You think this will be a successful mission.
Well, we don't want to be complacent, but we have brought astronauts back from the space station many times before, and always with success. Mm-hmm. So, as long as we're not complacent.
When are they? When are you going to launch?
I think it's about 4 weeks to bring them back.
About 4 weeks?
Yeah.
And
we're being extremely cautious.
Yeah. You now have the go-ahead.
Yes. Well, thanks to you.
They didn't have the go-ahead with Biden.
What's that?
He was going to leave him in space. I think he was going to leave him in space.
Well, it's like we were growing up, lost in space.
Yeah, he didn't want the publicity. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. And so I want to echo something that the president said and then ask an overarching question.
Did you know that Amazon has a...
So people get hit with Hurricane Helene. They have no communication with the outside world. You come to the rescue. You donated that, I believe?
Yes. Okay.
You donated to the people.
He saved a lot of lives in North Carolina. He saved a lot of lives.
And California after the wildfires?
California, but I mean in North Carolina where they were really in trouble. They had no communication. People were dying. They were dying of starvation. He saved a lot of lives in North Carolina.
Okay. Now you're going to rescue astronauts. And now, and again, you do all of this. I would think liberals would love the fact that you have the biggest electric vehicle company in the world.
I mean, I used to be adored by the left, you know.
Not anymore.
Less so these days.
He killed that, huh?
I mean, less so.
I really didn't.
Well, I mean, this whole sort of like, you know, they call it like Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. And I don't, you know, you don't realize how real this is until, like, it's... You can't reason with people. So, like, I was at a friend's birthday party in LA, just a birthday dinner, and it was like a nice, quiet dinner, and everyone was behaving normally. And then I happened to mention, this is before the election, like a month or two before, I happened to mention the president's name, and it was like they got shot with a dart in the jugular that contained like methamphetamine and rabies. Okay, and they're like, "Wah!" And I'm like, "What is wrong, like, guys? Like, you just can't have like a normal conversation."
Yeah.
And it's like it's like they become completely irrational.
He has no idea. But if you're friends with him, you pay a price. You know, it's I walk into a restaurant in New York, and it's like half the room gets daggers, and they want to.
No, the eye daggers level is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like I had like some invitation because so I got invited to like so basically a big sort of damn event like. I received the invitation like the beginning of last year, and I still attended even after I had endorsed President Trump, and I didn't realize how profoundly that would affect, how I was received. I mean, I walk into the room and I'm getting just the dirty looks from everyone. Like, if looks could kill, I would have been dead several times over.
But that was not... Before Trump, that never happened, right?
No.
Alrighty, we're back. This is an article that I didn't really... I touched on, but this has to do with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, he's going to retire, and that's good. I'm glad he's going to retire because Mitch is not a Republican. I'm going to tell you, rhinos. There's nothing that really gets makes you so angry as traitors, and Mitch McConnell has voted against every single one of those Trump's nominees. Every one he's voted against, and again, we don't need any more traitors. Anyhow, let's see. Karen in Illinois pledges 30, and Deborah in Illinois pledges 50. Thank you, thank you. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. I just read a part of an article. I can't read because of profanity, but on the air, but it talks about how President Trump has gone into the insane mode, okay, where he's, well, let me take a better look at that. Maybe I can read. Trump veers towards the madman theory while his aides are trying to sound insane, his aides are trying to sound sane. In other words, Trump is, they're saying that Trump is using a strategy to make other world leaders think that he's crazy so that they'll be afraid to oppose him, okay? And they're saying that, of course, that's Trump's strategy. Well, I don't think Trump is saying, telling people that he's crazy. I think the far-left communist-controlled media is doing that. You hear that all the time. And so, and the real crazy people out there are within the Democratic Communist Party. Alrighty. Going back. Deep state destruction. President Trump cuts funding to National Endowment for Democracy. Oh, boy. It's been a bloodbath, folks. Listen, in the world of boxing, the saying is, he's on his heels. Meanwhile, the opponents are forced into the defensive and has to retreat. That's exactly what President Donald Trump, with the help of Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency, are doing day in and day out to the proverbial deep state. We do see this deep state crumbling. We do see, we kind of see them falling apart out there. They're really, they're turning on each other. And one of the things I've noticed a lot lately, all of these who want to be leaders, they've already got a list of them that want to run for president in 2028, and they're coming up, and they're all talking about how what the party has to do, they've got to get back on track, and they're starting to figure out, of course, now this puts them in total opposition to the squat and others with the what they call the progressives that are totally radical, okay? And they're saying that they have to communicate with people outside the Beltway. They said, we got to get out of D.C. We got to go out, and we've been here, and we haven't been communicating with the rest of the country out there. We're losing everybody, okay? And the only people we have supporting us now are college-educated women. This is what they were saying today, but they're going after each other now. And so, anyhow, I go on to this article. It says, this is exactly what President Donald Trump, with the help of Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency, are doing day in, day out to the proverbial deep state. Earlier this month, President Trump announced he was defunding the United States Agency for International Development, that's USAID, a de facto arm of the Central Intelligence Agency. This was immediately followed by the withdrawal from the United Nations Human Rights Council and the defunding of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. Praise the good Lord, okay? President Trump isn't letting up. On Tuesday, he landed a haymaker to his already shaky foe, sending them grasping for the ropes. And after this report, another CIA cutout was being defunded. According to the Free Press, President Trump significantly cut funding to the National Endowment for Democracy, essentially starving the organization. Well, we're up against the clock, and would you, you've got 5 minutes. Would you like to give an invitation?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of cold in here tonight, Pastor, in studio, but there's yeah. There's a place that if people don't accept Christ, it's going to be a lot hotter and a lot more uncomfortable.
Amen.
So we want to tell you how you can accept Jesus Christ tonight. You know, as we go forward, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are the ways of death. The problem with that is that you could live your life thinking that you're doing right, that you're in the right position, only to come to the end and then find out that, you know what, I messed up. And that's a regret that you will have to live with for eternity. Well, we want you to be able to avoid that regret. And so the Bible says this. It says that knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, which are the days we are in, scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God that the heavens of old were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So we want to say this. Listen, we've had people that have been calling in, harassing and doing, nefarious things. But listen, you want to get your heart right. You want to give your life to Christ, because you can be willingly ignorant if you want to. You can go down that path of thinking you're doing right, or that you can mock against the things of God. Listen, that's not going to be a good day when you stand before God. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The love of the Father, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on that cross for your sins. And all you have to do is accept him. But if you reject him, you not only will go to hell, but the Bible says the second death is that death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that torment and that smoke is going to go up for eternity. So listen, we don't want you to go there. And if tonight, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you would accept him, allow him to come in and ask him to forgive you of your sins, you can be saved. Again, as the Bible says, before the earth was destroyed by water, this time it's going to be by fire. So listen, if you would like to ask the Lord to forgive you and ask him to come into your heart, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and will sup with him, and I will make my abode with him. And the word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So listen, if that is you tonight, you can be in the arms of Christ if you should die tonight.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Well, we're at that point that we get to every night. I want to thank all of you folks out there for supporting us all of these years. And I can assure you that in all of these years, we never gave it less than our best. And we're in this fight until the Lord comes back and takes us back, because the cause is the righteous cause. And again, thank you. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless to y'all.
God bless.
And then we say always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.